You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, April 20th, episode 3930, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Happy Kentucky Week! Yay!
It's a special Kentucky three-day episode. We're joined by the amazing Max Cochran to get a sneak peek at the field for the weekend. We also know that shopping is a major part of the Kentucky three-day experience, and John Nunn, formerly of Bit of Britain, now Nunn Finer, tells us about his decades selling at the park and how it's changed over the years. Plus, we're going to have a little bit of a random chat in the post show, and I have a special for auditors in the post show, and this goes along with the shopping over the years. I had the opportunity in a previous or another show I do called Retail Roundup to speak to Rose from Equus Now, and I know that the auditors are into this kind of stuff. We actually talked. It was Rose and I and VTO Sattery were the three that started sales online when the internet first started for tack. And I had a chat with Rose about the early days, and it ended up,
you're so old.
It ended up being kind of funny, actually, because of the things we had to go through. But we're going to play that for you in the post show as
And if
well.
You're not going to Kentucky, the cool thing is Glenn is going to intersperse a lot of history throughout the show about the Kentucky Horse Park. And you know what? Even if you've never been to the Kentucky 3-day or you're not into that kind of thing, you have to, as a horse person, take a trip to the Mecca, which is the Kentucky Horse Park, and see it all. So we will be giving you history. Glenn will be giving you history about that the whole show, too.
And we're going to start with that a little bit about the Kentucky Horse Park. And I wanted to, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, World Equestrian Center is this grand thing, but Kentucky Horse Park has a different feel altogether.
It's historical, too.
Yeah. And I think partly because every time you go there, you also either go to the Red Mile or Keeneland or both, right? And they're just a throwback in time. And, you know, I loved Keeneland, but we loved the Red Mile. We used to go to the Red Mile all the time just because it was such a cool snapshot of, like, the early 1900s.
For those who don't know what that is, that's a standardbred track somewhere in
Have you ever been?
Area. Yes. I went several times when I was very, very poor. And what I would do is I would find the 99-to-1 odds and put $2 on. And many times I made rent because I felt like if it's 99-to-1, they've been pulling it back and holding it. And they're going to let it go.
And the Red Mile is different too because it's a party. They always have barbecues going on. You know, if you think anybody that's been to a minor league hockey game, it's a party. And that's kind of what the Red Mile is. They have stuff between the races. They have all these crazy races that people do, like the sack races and all this stuff. And they also did quarter horse racing. That was first place and only place I ever saw a quarter horse race. But yeah, so it just had a different feel. And then you went to Keeneland just because it was Keeneland and it was special. But the Kentucky Horse Park, and go to the museum. You know, a lot of people skip the museum. The museum's pretty cool. I mean, it's called the Museum of the Horse. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Kentucky Horse Park, here's some things I didn't know and we covered. I mean, we used to do shows. I co-hosted with the guy who ran the Kentucky Horse Park. I mean, we did shows there all the time. It started in 1977, the Kentucky Horse Park itself. The land was originally a 9,000-acre grant from Patrick Henry, governor of Virginia, to his brother-in-law, William Christian, in 1777. Over the next 200 years, the property evolved through several famous owners. One owner was, and this is a name I have never seen before, Eliphalet Muir, who was married to the niece of Daniel Boone.
So, Eliphalet. I'm going to go with Eliphalet.
Have you ever seen that name before?
Eliphalet.
I don't know.
I've never seen that. This is from like the 1400s. Okay.
But anyway, it was the niece of Daniel Boone lived there for a while. In 1897, the then owner, Lamon Harkness, built the Big Barn. We've all seen the Big Barn. It's 476 feet long and was one of the largest horse barns ever built at the time. And it's still standing today. It is really cool.
What's really fun is that I went to school at the horse park. They used to have an equine management school, the Kentucky Equine Institute. And all of our horses, we worked with a bunch of Mustangs and they were all in the Big Barn. And you know, what's really fun is they didn't allow blowers. So we swept
the whole thing.
At least the front it's like half, a half a mile. Was where our horses were. Yeah, it's insane. And I was like, we're paying you guys to sweep this barn. I was like, this is stupid.
My God, the aisle's the longest I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, we did like the first half of it because we had probably 20 horses that we would bring in and out. Oh my God.
Over the years, as I said, pieces were sold off, and in 1972, the Commonwealth of Kentucky purchased the final 1,032 acres for $2.7 million. The Kentucky Horse Park officially opened to the public in 1978 as the world's first park dedicated to the relationship between people and horses. So there you go. We'll talk a little bit more about the other history, too, that I found along the way, as well as the event itself. But you know what doesn't stop for Kentucky Week? Birthdays. And hey, computer. Computer thought I had the week off.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
Two auditors with birthdays today, Sarah W. and Rebecca B. And also, somebody that I happen to know is driving right now, probably following Max up I-75. And she's going to be competing this weekend as well as our friend Elisa Wallace, who we just talked to a week or two ago. So happy birthday to all of them.
Well, I mean, I can't give a Daily Winnie out to anybody other than the horse you named Craigslist Carl. Oh my gosh. This horse is such a gem. So I have had Amigo, my recently castrated Andalusian 3-year-old, who has gone through the gauntlet of I'm a giant stallion. I want to breed everything to like, he's kind of quieted down now. It's been about 6 weeks since he was castrated. And they say 6 weeks is kind of when the tank is empty. You know what I mean? So I've had him in a paddock by himself and I had to have space between him and another horse. And then I was able to put Carl in a paddock next to Amigo. And they're like, I mean, Amigo loves him. Carl doesn't care. Like that's the whole thing about Carl. Hashtag Carl don't care. He cares about nothing. So I've got him in. This horse is like, rah, you know, going crazy. And he's like, I don't care. So yesterday was the first day that I decided I could try to put them out together. Okay. So I take Carl out and I put Carl out in the paddock. And this is a big paddock. It's like 2 acres. And I bring Amigo out. And Amigo's like, oh my God, he's in my paddock. Oh my God, he's in my paddock. And I bring them out and I keep a halter and a line on him, like a 30-foot line. So at least if something happens, I can like yank him, you know? And he walks out there and he's like, Carl, Carl. And Carl's like, I don't care.
Get away,
and
get Carl away, walks get away. Off.
And, no. And Amigo's like, okay. And just walks out. Like, it was the most peaceful. You can't introduce normal horses that peacefully. Nothing. Amigo's like, oh my God, he's in my paddock. And Carl's like, what? What up, dude? Like, and just kind of walks off. And Amigo's like, okay, cool. Like,
but so Jennifer and I have done that in the past because you get all worked up. The people get all worked up about it. When Jennifer and I have done that in the past and it goes like that, I'm kind of like, huh, all right, well, that was almost kind of disappointing.
There's times when you're like, okay, guys, like if you kill each other, I can't help you. Yeah. Like you're on your own, like don't die. And then this one was like, okay, I don't care. Like, and that was the one I was expecting, like the most monumental fireworks. Now, granted, they've been next to each other, sharing a fence line.
Well, that doesn't always matter.
You never know. You never know. And I was just like, I love this horse. I just love him.
I think Craigslist Carl might have been the best horse you've ever bought, actually.
I mean, he's awesome. He is awesome. I rode him yesterday because Zoe was out and she was riding Ace. And I was like, okay, I'd already ridden Amigo. And I was like, I'm just going to hop on Carl. And I was like, Groot, you need to do something. So I hop on Carl and I pony Groot and just, and he, like, I've never done, he's like, okay. Don't care. We're going to go on a trail ride. Groot's like, I'm going to run through the fence and push you out of the way. And Carl's like, I don't care.
Didn't Carl come from that dumpy farm?
No, he came from Swink, Oklahoma, where they told me that you don't have to do veterinary
care. That's right. I forgot that.
First of all, I couldn't understand half of what the guy said because I found him on Craigslist. And I called the guy and he's like, well, here's something. I was like, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not from here. What are you saying? And then when I asked him about, I was like, is he up to date on his vaccines, Coggins, teeth done, any of that? He's like, oh man, we don't have to do those things down here in Swank. What? And of course, as you remember, I did take Carl to the vet because he's 20 or he's 18 at that point and he's never had his teeth floated, right? I take him in, vet looks at his teeth and goes, no, they're not that bad. I was like, what?
See, apparently in Swink, they didn't have to do that.
I was like, we all need to move to Swink. I don't even think they have tornadoes
there.
Did
they do their feet or didn't they have to do that there either? They just naturally wore off perfectly.
I think he just traveled like a Mustang. Greatest purchase ever.
I forget what you paid for him. It wasn't much.
It was like $1,500.
Yeah. You could get 5,000 for him now.
Oh my God. I wouldn't sell him for $1,000,000.
So one of the things that you do when you go into the Kentucky Horse Park that everybody does, and it's required to get your picture in front of it. And when Jamie and I met, first thing we did was went to the Kentucky Horse Park and got our picture in front of it. And what's that, Jamie?
The Man of War statue.
Of course, it's just required. So a little history on that, and I didn't know any of this either. The famous equestrian sculptor Herbert Haseltine began working on the statue while Man of War was still alive. He spent months at a faraway farm observing the horse for an hour or two every day to capture his likeness perfectly. That was in 1941. In 1947, Man of War died at the age of 30. His funeral was so massive that it was broadcast live on radio. Remember the MTV back then? It was broadcast live on radio to the whole nation. He was that big a deal back in 1947. In October of 1948, the statue was officially unveiled at Faraway Farm, where it served as the horse's grave marker. And in 1977, to prepare for the opening of the Kentucky Horse Park, I didn't realize this had been there since the beginning, to prepare for the opening of the Kentucky Horse Park, both the 3,000-pound bronze statue and the remains of Man of War were moved from the farm to the park's entrance there. So that's the story behind the statue. I didn't know it was actually started when he was alive.
I remember them saying they moved it, but I just figured it was to, like, honor him after he had passed. That's crazy.
Did you know they also moved the remains?
I did. Well, I knew the remains were there.
Yeah,
so,
I knew they were there too.
I don't know what I thought.
I know.
The horse park wasn't invented back then.
I know. It's just so crazy that some of the things I'm learning going through this that we've never covered. We've covered this show for 15 years.
Now, right. I've got to tell you something about this whole Man of War thing, because as you guys know, some of you, there is a rivalry between the greatest racehorse secretary and Man of War. And I have always contested that Man of War was the greatest. I've got a book right here sitting on my table. Like, Man of War is like the pinnacle to me.
Send your hate mail to Jennifer at Horse Radio.
It's okay. I don't care. I'm like Carl. I don't care. But we have a little bit of an issue. And that issue is... I need to take out a loan. So at the New Vocations this Thursday is having the open barn and barbecue. If you're a listener, please come meet up with us. We're going to hang out. We're going to see some demos. We'll look at adoptable horses. I mean, my friend has to adopt a horse and I mean, I have an empty stall. So whatever, who knows what's going to happen. So they have this silent auction that they do, Glenn. I can't even right now. There is a horseshoe worn by Man of War that is being in the silent auction. Here's
really?
What it says. Yes. Here's your chance to own a piece of history, an authentic horseshoe worn by the greatest racehorse of all time, right? The legendary Men O' War. This unique once-in-a-lifetime offering was purchased in an auction over a decade ago and includes a certificate of authenticity from the auction house. It's mounted on a silver plate suitable for display. It is Men O' War's freaking horseshoe. I need it. And I need it.
Oh, is it going to be, do they do the auction live or is it online or what?
I think they wrap it up there. However, it is online right now and it's only been open for like a day and it's already at $2,000. It's priceless.
I wonder what Chad's going to say. Oh, I just spent $4,000 on a horseshoe.
I think it's probably going to go for more than that. But oh my God, I want it so bad. I want it so bad.
Okay. So I asked Gemini who it thought the greatest racehorse of all time was, Secretariat or Man of War. And the first answer was just all their stats and stuff. I said, no, I asked, if you have to pick one, which one would it be? Are you ready? So this is AI picking. If I'm forced to put my money on the line and pick just one, I'm going with Man of War.
There you go.
AI agrees with you. So there you are.
Okay, I'm looking at February 2017. Oh, this is probably the same shoe. Wait, this is a totally different looking shoe. There's another shoe that was auctioned off.
Do they do DNA tests on the dirt?
I know, right? It's a COA, this one. But then I just Googled Men O' War horseshoes because I was like, how much is it valued by? And there's another horseshoe. It's like one of his race plates. And it looks completely different than the other shoe that is up for whatever. I'm sure it's legit. It has a certificate of authenticity. But this one, this race plate sold for $22,000. For charity, Chad. For charity.
Okay. Well, you know.
That was 2017. Oh, no.
If you're also looking at bidding on the Man of War horseshoe, something much more practical that you can get a lifetime of value out of is worm flooring. Stop the spring cleaning cycle before it starts as you head out for the first hauls of the season. Remember that every mile with traditional rubber mats is a mile where moisture and waste are trapped against your trailer floor, fueling hidden corrosion. Worm flooring eliminates this risk by bonding a permanent non-porous rubber seal directly to your subfloor. It's the ultimate spring upgrade. Much, much more practical than or shoe from Man of War. You get a floor that protects your aluminum from rot and seamless finish that never needs to be pulled out or scrubbed. It provides a cushioned non-slip surface that stays cool and stable even during those unpredictable spring rainstorms. Instead of spending your weekend wrestling heavy mats, you can simply hose out the debris and get back to what matters, riding your horse. Visit Worm, W-E-R-M flooring.com today to find a dealer near you. Well, every year at the Kentucky three-day time, we have the pleasure of speaking with one of the most well-respected grooms in eventing and one of the kindest, nicest people you ever meet. Welcome to our friend Max Cochran. Hey, Max.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us again. I think you've been coming on our show for like 15 years now. So
yeah, it could be. Yeah. Easily could be.
She's like, leave me alone.
No. It's the only time Glenn and I actually get to catch up, even though we live in the same town.
Yeah, we tried this winter. We tried to catch up, and for some reason, we both dropped the ball. So I don't know.
Yes, exactly.
That's what happens every year. We say, we're going to get together at least for dinner. Never happens.
Yeah, never happens. Worlds get busy, especially in the winter.
Well, we are recording this on Monday, and it's Monday's show, and we're doing a special for the Kentucky 3-Day, as we usually do, and you're heading up there on I-75, right?
I am. We are 75 north, somewhere in Tennessee, northern Tennessee at the moment, just pecking away, putting miles behind us.
But you're not driving, you're being chauffeured. You paid somebody to drive you this year?
Well, I didn't pay him, actually. I am helping John Holling and looking after Fernhill Esmeralda this year. So I am in the back of the truck right now while John and Jen are driving and navigating. And so I'm feeling a little bit spoiled here.
Yeah. No, he's paying you and you're sitting in the back.
Well, I know. Pretty great. Yeah. Exactly.
She worked a lot of years to earn that. So what do you look forward to the most about Kentucky every year?
Oh, God, a lot of things. I think, you know, it's such an epic competition. I love the energy that horse park brings and the energy that the 3-day event brings to the horse park. And there's something just so very special about it. You know, for everybody that is there to compete, it's been a long road to get there. And that's a celebration enough just pulling in the driveway. And I think that's a very special thing too. And no matter what level you're doing. So that's very cool. And then, you know, just the whole competition itself, it's that horse park is set up for a championship, and it's we're just lucky to be able to be there. And, you know, the organizing committee does a fantastic job, and it's great to catch up with, you know, the people that come over from overseas and to catch up with all the grooms. And, you know, we're there. Yes, we're busy, but we're not there with as many horses. You know, sometimes we're at a one-day event and we've got six horses and it's just chaos and you don't get to see anybody or catch up. But here we're just, you know, sometimes you're out hand grazing and you just catch up with friends or meet new ones and, you know, have a laugh and a talk. And, you know, it's just a great time of year to be there and to be part of it. It's just awesome.
You only have one horse this year. That must seem nice. You go to a big event and only
is.
Have one.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it typically, you know, if you have more than one, there's usually someone that helps you there. But yes, it's we're pretty lucky to be here with one horse. Yeah.
And how many is this for you? It's got to be 20 some, right?
It's over 20. Yes, it's over 20. I don't really know the numbers, but I was trying to think. I think it's like 23 maybe.
And who was the first horse you were there with?
With Ballymar, with Karen O'Connor. And we had, I mean, that was my main horse there, but Karen had four horses. And 2002 was my first Kentucky, and she had, see if I can remember this.
God, you must have been a baby groom. You must have been like 12 in 2000.
Yeah, you're really nice. Yeah, exactly. I'm an old lady now, but yeah, she had Ballymar, Upstage, Regal Scott, and Grand Slam there that year. She did four in the long format, which was,
oh my God,
not really known, but it was, oh my God, it was hectic. But it was, yeah. And that was the year it rained, you know, at lunchtime, the rains came in and just set on down. And so it was like, you know, two different competitions, the morning competition and the afternoon competition. And it was a wild ride. And that was the epic year of Bruce Davidson with Little Tricky putting on a riding lesson. It was just incredible.
Speaking of weather, this weekend, Jamie's coming up too, so you'll see her there. But excellent. It looks like you're supposed to have really great weather until Saturday.
Exactly. I know. And funny enough, what? Like we left this morning on the drive up. I mean, when we were in Georgia, it was 40 degrees. It was, you know, sort of 60 when we left Ocala. It got to 40 degrees. Now it's 57, you know, so I packed my, and tomorrow morning is supposed to be 38 degrees. So I have my wool hat and my shorts. I've got everything. You have to pack just a little bit of everything. It's, you know, yeah.
And God, then you always
the rain come in.
You always have to. It's been snowing at years we've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be 80 degrees on Friday. So you never know. So yeah, you just sort of got to pack accordingly.
So
it's nice when you're driving, because you can just shove stuff in a bag and, you know, as much room in a trailer as you can find.
Tell us about John's horse.
Oh, Zelda, we call her. She's amazing. I've helped John on and off, just some one day horse trials. If I'm home, I've gone to help him, and I'm a sucker for a chestnut with a white face anyway. And I've just loved this. You know, I sort of got to know her when she was training level when John first got her, and I thought, oh, I like this one. And then just watching her career and stuff, I've just really have enjoyed following it and watching it. And she and John have got this great friendship partnership now, which is really fun to watch. And she's really cool. She's young. She's only 9. And she's still pretty new at the level, but she's a beast. She's a really, really cool horse. I'm really excited for him to be there and to be able to be there with them. I think it's going to be a fun, should be a great week. She's ready. They're both absolutely ready for it. They're going to be awesome. You know, probably not, you know, they're not there to win, because she is 9 and she's here to get the experience, and it's a fantastic place for her to get to the next level. And yeah, it'll be wonderful, but it is. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for the week.
Well, you say not there to win. It's stranger things have happened. I mean, it is him, you know,
100%, 100%. Yes. Yes, exactly.
But there has
to be competitive. There's like a different thing. Like, there's competitive, like, yes, he will be very competitive. Do you know what I mean? There's that, but you know, it's there for the experience, you know, to be on that ground, to gallop on that ground, to be over those jumps, to be on Derek's courses, to be in the main arena, you know, and to be as good as you can be.
And that, you know, atmosphere in that show jump arena has got to
Oh, it's electric, you know, and there's so much. So, you know, you do all the things you're going to do, you know, and she's a remarkable horse, and John's a really good, really, really good rider. So it's going to be, you know, you never know. Like you said, you never know. Yeah.
You never know. Now I must say that, like, do you think, and maybe you don't answer this, probably they could, Is there bragging rights when Max is your groom?
Oh, I don't think
you know?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Like, oh, really? You guys are going to think you're going to win best turnout? I have Max. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I don't know. They're like, oh, I got this old lady that's just sitting in the back seat while I'm driving my ass. Got up and drive up here. Yeah.
Hey, Max, so much for her. Any new riders to watch this year?
I think there'd be some good ones. I think in the five-star, I think, you know, the guys that come over from England are going to be quite good. I think Will Coleman's going to be ready to really pull the trigger with the Ebolo. I think that'll be a really good one to watch. And Boyd, I think back with Commando, you know, he was second last year. I think he will be quite good. Harry Mead's got, you know, he'll be fast because he's fast everywhere. So he'll be looking to have a pretty good round with the Superstition horse. I think it's been here a few times, maybe at least once. And Tim Price of the Vitale horse is always really good. There's really good dressage horses, you know, and, you know, Monica Spencer, she's been very good on the flat this year. That one always has a little bit of trouble in the show jumping as his weak phase, but, you know, she's had some clear rounds this year. So yeah, it should be interesting to see. I think that'll be the five-star will be, it's a small field, but I think it's going to be a very, very good competition in the end. I think, you know, you've got some very good horses, American and foreign horses, you know, even Buck with the Sorokema horse, that one has had such good, you know, had a really good placing last year. I think it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago here. So I would keep an eye on that one too. That's sort of a dark, really dark horse one too. That's a good one. And the four shorts got a really good competition too. So, I mean, there's good, both of it's going to be quite epic.
With only having one horse to groom, I feel like you're going to have tons of extra time to like take in the sights. When you're in Kentucky, what are some of the things like in all these years that you love to do when you go? Or when you go not for this competition?
Yeah, I always try to get some of the course walked. I always try to, the grooms, we sometimes at a late, you know, one evening, we all sort of meet up. We try to put, you know, all the foreign grooms and stuff. We're like, hey, let's meet at the Starbucks at 6. And we go and sort of walk the course together, which is always fun. And just a fun sort of bit of a laugh. I mean, we don't walk, if we know there's an Oxer way out the far end, we're like, okay, we're going to cut across here. you know, so we sort of do an abridged version of doing that. I love, I don't know, just everything. Just, you know, having a quick tootle through the trade fair, seeing what there. Just catching up with people too. I think it's, you know, being in Lexington, there's some really good restaurants in Lexington, you know, trying to get off the horse park, which is always a good thing to do. And then for some reason in the show office, there's a donut shop somewhere in Lexington and they buy donuts in the that are just the freshest. They're like still hot when they get there. So I always treat myself to one of those damn donuts. They're so good.
Well, that begs delicious. The question. I think you used to live. What are some of your favorite places to eat now? I mean, because some of us are coming, some people coming for the first time.
Yeah. There's a funny place that I love. It's Rose and Jim's, which is like a funny little dive bar. And the food is great. And you can sit outside. It's really very laid back, funny place. And last time I went there, which is a couple of years now, they only took cash, which was great. Okay. I mean, it was just an easy place to go. It's a place in Georgetown called Gavlin's, I think it's called Gavlin's. Great little sports bar. Fantastic. That's a great place to go to. And then in downtown Lexington, oh God, there's so many good places. I can see it. I mean, there's a lot of really good places in downtown.
I was already noticing a theme that basically you just named a bunch of bars. So it's all good. I get
there's restaurants. There are restaurants. They are. Yes, exactly. No, it's they all serve food. They have good burgers. No, Gavlin's they've got like a bazillion different beers on tap, which is actually fun, but they also have like a massive menu. So, and then yeah, there's kind of, you know, a lot of people, I haven't actually ever done the bourbon tour. There's a whole bourbon tour you can do when you're there. Some people like doing that. Some people like going to Keeneland, you know, just to do something a bit different that's not on the horse park. So
is Keeneland's last day again Friday, Jamie?
Yes.
Is that how
it, I don't know. It's usually how it works. It's usually how it works. So I know some people try to sneak over there. But downtown, God, I can't think of the names of these restaurants. Totally evading me.
So, well, that's okay. I'll make sure I just hit any bars with good restaurants. I'll Google that.
Yeah, no, Dudley's is a really, that's a great place. And there's also like there's a really good steakhouse downtown as well. But Dudley's is sort of a family owned restaurant in town and they have really good food there. They try to do a lot of locally sourced stuff. There's another really good farm to table restaurant in think it's in Paris, maybe, which is the next town over. But yeah, there's some really good places to go.
And you do, and of course, the food has gotten better over the years at the show itself, yes, too. I mean, there's at least there's variety now. So.
Well, it's not just like
fried
food.
Oreos,
yes,
yeah,
deep
fried
Oreos, yes, exactly,
fish, fried yeah, everything,
yeah, anything exactly fried, you can get it there.
Exactly, and they'll fry anything, pretty much anything. Yes, chicken fried steak, yeah.
So did you just come? There was a big show here in Ocala over the weekend, too. Yes. A big event. Were you there, yep, all weekend, I assume?
I was there. I was there on, yes, I was there helping. I just helped with the show jumping there. So I help Emily Holmes. She sort of asked me to sort of look after the show jumping people, which is great. So I do that. And yeah, which was a good weekend. All went quite well there. They had good numbers. And yeah, it was a great weekend.
It was an FEI weekend, right?
Parts. Yes, absolutely. They had a 1, 2, and 3-star long format, and then a 4-star short. And then she offers combined tests for the horses that are going to Kentucky, and then a regular horse trials from novice through advanced.
Did I read so there was hundreds of horses there, right? I mean,
there were lots of horses. I bet there were at least 500 horses there. Yeah, between all the levels and everything, it's pretty epic. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of moving parts, and they do a really good job there. That crew there is excellent. Emily does an amazing job sort of putting all the pieces in place. And yeah, it's a lot.
Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck. Tell John the best
Thank
of
you.
Luck as well.
We'll
this
pass
weekend.
It on. Absolutely.
Tell him
yes.
we said hello. He's my neighbor, yeah, or used to be my neighbor.
I know. Yeah. You saying that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So good luck this week. And Jamie, you'll probably bump into you at some point this week.
Perfect. Super. Okay. We'll see you guys then.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Talk to you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
So, Jamie, let's go now to the Kentucky 3-Day. The very first one was held in 1978. And it was actually the World 3-Day Event Championships, and the U.S. won the right to host it because Bruce Davidson had won the previous World Championship in England.
Oh, wow. So that's how they decided where it would go?
Yes,
It's like in baseball when, you know, whoever wins the All-Star game, then they get to host the World Series.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay, the organizers did a dry run. In 1976, they held the first ever horse trials at the horse park just to see if the ground and layout could handle it. And so by 1978, they were ready, but they had one problem. And they didn't expect the turnout. They thought there would be 10, 20,000 people. 70,000 people showed up for Cross Country Day.
Oh my goodness.
Over the course of the entire weekend, more than 170,000 spectators came, and they were not prepared. Traffic was backed up for miles. It still gets backed up for miles, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Traffic was backed up for miles, and the infrastructure was just at the limits. Apparently, they didn't have enough food. There weren't enough bathrooms. The whole thing. They just were not prepared for that crowd. And it was hot and humid. It was very hot. It took a toll on the horses. Out of 41 starters, 26 finished. That sounds about right, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the carnage was so significant that it led to controversy internationally, and it led to major changes in how cross-country courses were designed and how horses were vetted for safety because of this
nice.
Show. Prince Philip was there. He attended as president of the FEI.
Did you know Prince Philip was president of the FEI?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yep, for a while.
I'm learning so much today.
Who won? Bruce Davidson won, of course. He won individual gold on a horse named
Might Tango.
There you go. And because he won, the U.S. technically earned the right to host it again. But instead, the success of the weekend led to the creation of the annual Kentucky Horse Trials that started in 1979. So that's why it started, and that's how it started. And of course, what statue is out in front of the stadium?
That would be Bruce Davidson.
Yes, coming that's right.
Going down and down a drop. But it wasn't Mike Tango that he's on, is it? No.
I don't remember who it was, but I don't think it was Mike Tango.
I'm going to Google it.
Google it. All right. What? And while the U.S. team, or while the U.S., thanks to Bruce, took individual gold, the Canadian team pulled off a massive upset to take the team gold medal. Not the Germans, not the Dutch. It was the Canadian team.
Eagle Lion.
Oh, there you go. You should have known that, actually.
Join us as we chat with past guests to find out, where are they now?
Well, this is a Where Are They Now? And I've known him for probably 20 years or more. All of you that are in the eventing world have known him longer than that and have seen him everywhere. We used to work together also for about 5 years. Some of our listeners probably don't know that. But John Nunn from Nunn Finer Products and used to be Bit of Britain. Hi, John.
Yeah. Hey, how are you? How's everybody? Jamie, how are you?
Oh my gosh. Glad to hear your voice, man. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
I saw John at the trade show in January, and we talked about him coming on. I said, oh, we got to have you on the week of Kentucky, because I think most people in the country know you for your booth at, let's call it Rolex, because 99% of the time you did it was Rolex. They know you from Rolex. I mean, that's where they saw you every year.
Yeah. You know, everybody, they really did. They got to come from all over the country. They knew Bit of Britain because, you know, Bit of Britain was kind of well known with a catalog and a website and et cetera. And you were part of that website early on. And then, you know, having that big booth and growing it and growing it and growing it, it became a place that everybody wanted to go. You know how many times I heard Bit of Britain was the first place that we go when we get to Kentucky? But this year, Nunn Finer needs to be their first place to go.
Are you going
to
be there? Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to be. We have a booth right alongside the indoor. And booth number 70, it's right on the outside of the indoor. So when you come down the hill from Sponsor Row, you turn to the left and, yeah. And it's going to be fun. You know, I mean, I have to admit, I've been doing this. God, I think I did Rolex and Land Rover 27 years.
Wait, when was the first year? Do you remember?
91, I think. Okay. I want to say 91. And I went down with my trailer and I broke down on the way down. I broke down on when I got there. And I only had like a 10 by 20 tent. And so it was a whole different world. I mean, we've seen Kentucky grow from Glenn one time, and I don't know if you were there, but Karen rode up on Biko yelling to me, hey, John, I need a whip to go cross country. Now, you can't get near, you can't even get near the tents on a horse anymore. You know, that's not even, and back then you could. Back then it was more like a horse trial than it was
Did she have her credit card on her when she was riding, or like, what'd you do?
You know, you got to trust Karen. What are you going to do? You know? Yeah.
John, so, how many vendors were there in those early days? Not many.
I would say there was 30 or maybe possibly 40 when you talk about the little ones. And I have to admit, I was not the first. There was, you know, obviously I wasn't there from day one, but 27 years, I think, as a vendor. And then I did the World Equestrian Games in Kentucky. And then I came back the last 3 years. I've been helping Paul from VTO in his booth selling Nunn Finer and just coming down and, you know, seeing all my old friends and all that. And this year, he's not going to go. So we decided we're going to go ourselves. We've got $1,000 gift card giveaway that we're going to do. We've got, you know what we do have? We are sponsoring and have been for a while now, Monica Spencer, who is going to be one of the favorites going into this whole thing.
Nice.
So yeah, that's going to be, you know, and she's such a great gal. Everybody should come over and meet her. We will have her on the booth at some point. We don't know what time yet, but we will get the announcements. And, you know, basically, we'll announce it. We'll have some flyers. We don't know. It's hard to know when they can get over. You know, they're so busy and getting ready, and they got course walks and you know, all that. So, yeah.
Well, what's the name of the booth?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, what's
it's,
the name
it's
of
our
the booth?
It's our non-finer. It's non-finer itself. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was booth number 70. And we're going to give $1,000. Stop by because you got to do the QR code in order to get eligible for the $1,000 gift card giveaway. And lots of other, some other giveaways. And we've got a lot of new products. One thing that has helped me, my daughter and my son have started to take the business over. They've been working for years for me now and with the in the company. And so it gives me more time to actually find and develop new products. So I've got a number of new products. One we brought out last year was called the Rapid Release, and we showed it there. And it sold brilliantly, and it sold brilliantly throughout the year. And we'll be demoing that again. And a couple other new things that I've designed and come up with that I'm pretty excited about.
You know, one of the things you mentioned about breaking down, that was not the only time we ever broke down going to shows.
I don't
think people realize how much prep there is. Now, you had a big booth there. Well, in the years I was with you, it was big and a lot of merchandise. And I don't think people have any clue how much prep there goes into. One, it starts months and months ahead of time just buying the stuff for the show. And then you have to get it into the truck and then take it out of the truck. And then what you don't sell goes back in the truck. And it just takes so many people and time.
It's amazing. I've been working myself for the last 2 weeks tagging for this show because we don't tag things with price tags on in our warehouse here because we don't have walk-in trade. So when we sell to retailers and somewhat to the public, it doesn't have a retail price on it. But when you go to Kentucky, I have now ordered four boxes of 500 tags. That means I priced over 2,000 wow. items individually. Yes. Yes. 2,000. Put the price tag on. I mean, it's crazy. And so prep is a lot. And then you get there and the first thing that happens, Glenn, you know this as well as I.
I know what you're going to say.
The first customer walks in and they say what?
Do you have this and you don't have it? That's first.
Exactly.
Every time.
Murphy's Law.
Not only that, it rains like hell on setup day. It just pours on setup day.
Oh, you don't have this in green? I want it in green. I have it in green. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't want that green.
I feel like you're attacking me right now.
Is that you? That is you, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Personally challenge, I'm going to go into your booth and I'm going to ask you a billion questions and make sure that you don't have any of the items that I'm asking for and not in any of the colors that I want. And it's just going to blow your mind. It's going to be so fun. Yay.
Do you have this in another black?
Yeah, different black. I don't like that black.
And a lighter black.
You know what else used to happen to us, Jamie, is those were the early days that I was working with John. Those were the early days of computers at shows. And it was the early days of what's called POS system, point of sale systems. And this was rudimentary in those days. And computers weren't even great back then.
There's no Wi-Fi.
And you couldn't get internet. No, that just didn't happen. And then it would break down and they couldn't get the credit cards. It was just so much of that crap.
I used to bring one person that literally, they didn't actually do setup. They only set up the computers at the front of the counter, and they did that for 3 days, you know, and the rest of us set up the whole place. And somebody had to set those computers up and get all that stuff working correctly. You were one of them that probably had to do that many a year because you were the geeky guy that, you know, we put in charge of all that, you know, and yeah.
For the most part, it worked. Now,
I sure didn't want to do it. I didn't want any part of it.
Now, I want to talk to you about two other things. One is Wagon 2010. And I think we're far enough from WAG now that we can actually talk a little bit about this. You had the biggest frickin' booth of anybody at the WAG in 2010. And I'm guessing, I don't know this, because I had started Horse Radio Network then. And I was there because we had the show. We had Samantha and I did the WAG show with Dr. Lyons, remember, helped us. So
yeah, sure.
You must have had $1 million worth of merchandise in that booth.
Well, you know, yes, we had pretty close, about $750,000 worth of inventory in the booth at every moment. But then again, I had about $250,000 off the site in warehousing and in the area. And I had big bays of warehousing. So, yeah, we had to turn a lot of inventory.
You did, day. Though. You had lines all day, every day.
Did you have to keep another warehouse because these pain in the A girls would come up and be like, hey, do you have this in baby blue or just in royal blue? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun show. You know, I mean, I take it, I say that, but, you know, it took me 30 days just before, you know, after I got back to actually feel like I could walk in a straight line, much less do anything else. I mean, it was pretty debilitating because it was every day.
For 17 days.
I was there 36 days, and we also had, you know, because you had set up and everything, so... Yeah, it was a tough one, but I'm looking forward to this Kentucky. You know, I think I'm looking forward to decent weather, hopefully. I'll keep our fingers crossed. And we got a good, you know, I have to admit, Land Rover this year, there's some really good horses and good entries. And, you know, I know it's expensive to come out. It really is. It's gotten, you know, pretty pricey, but it's a place to go. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who has to get a helmet and a body protector for their daughter. And I just said, this is a perfect place. And it always has been, because you can, if you don't find it in one of those 20 booths that has helmets or 20 booths that has body protectors, you're not going to find it. Or bridles, you know, you have choices, you know, leather goods, you have choices. You know, we're not the only leather company there. We're the best leather company there. You got it.
What I have to say about Nenfinder is when I first started eventing, I grew up showing hunter jumpers, and then I started eventing, and it was so difficult to find eventing specific products. And then I found Nenfinder, and I was like, oh my God, everything is for this random sport that I just took up. And it was so great. And I was then come to see you in the magazines, and you're in a, see you jump in prelim fences. It's just like, I was like, this all ties together. So if you were to say for this coming weekend, because I'll be at Kentucky, we all have our favorites. Who's your favorite rider? I mean, obviously you have your sponsored rider. So who are you pulling for the most, and who's going to be the guy you're going
for? Well, you know, it's definitely going to be the sponsored riders, right? I mean, you know, it's my, you know, I have also Jenny Brannigan, who is competing. I didn't look at the four-star list. Woods Fulton, who's always been a come-from-behind kind of rider and, you know, doesn't always get the best dressage score. But let me tell you, when they go show jumping in cross-country, but, you know, you've got the best in the world here, you know? Yeah, Harry Mead's got a bunch of nice horses. Boyd, you know, they all do. And Tim Price, I'm happy to see them all come back. But I'm going to be, this year, I have to admit, it's going to be Monica Spencer that I'm going to be pulling for the most. But let me tell you, I'm pulling for everybody. They're my friends. And, you know, I've seen they have to work so hard. I mean, God, I do novice in training, and I have to work hard. How about trying to get to an advanced test?
No.
Yeah. How do you do it? So.
Okay, John, one other thing we have to talk about, because every time this comes up, we get more reaction than anything else we talk about. And you're involved in it. And that was Tack of the Day. A lot of people are shocked, especially new listeners, when I mentioned that yes, I was involved in the starting of Tack of the Day and wrote all of the rather irreverent copy that went along with Tack of the Day. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows it. It was so popular back then. And it was crazy. It blew both of us away. You know, you and I, we had no idea.
The first day, Glenn, okay, if you remember this, we didn't understand that we went and said, okay, we're going to set up PayPal and we're going to take PayPal payments.
That's right.
And the first day we did $10,000 in sales. I remember it well.
First day.
And what happened was PayPal said, oh, this must be a scam. We're holding your money for, you know, until we can investigate. And I'm like, you can't hold our money. We need that money. I mean, we had to pay the, you know, we had to buy the product in order to. And, you know, so it was, Tech of the Day was a great, great thing for our company. You were at the forefront of it and with the ideas of it. And, you know, again, it was one of those that we all put our thought process into it and approvals. You know, mine was mainly, you know, approving it, you know, yes, yes, go, you know, I just kept saying, go for it, you know, and it worked. It was tremendous.
Jamie,
it was. Now
there was one day, Jamie, that we sold. Do you remember this, John? We sold 400 carrot shirts in one day.
Oh, britches too. Sometimes we sell 300 pairs, 400 pairs of britches in a day.
You remember, and, Jamie, you used to shop on it. We used to send out the email at noontime. And if you didn't get on the site right away, by 1 o'clock, it was sold out.
Yeah, no, it was a big thing with all my friends. We would just, did you guys get the tag of the day? We would e-forward it and everything. It was a big deal. I do have an idea, and we learned this. I came up with this on, I think, Wednesday's show, last Wednesday. So I'm requesting a shirt, and I feel like you really are going to embody this. It's a shirt for eventers. Glenn, do you remember this?
Yes,
this
I do.
Thing that I came up with? Okay. It's just a shirt with plain text, and it says, Eventers. We start out not sound in mind and finish not sound in body. Come on, that's going to sell a billion.
That is pretty good.
It's the truth. That's the problem.
I know.
Yeah. It's too much like reality for me.
John, it's been a pleasure to chatting with you again. Have a blast this weekend I have conceded that I'm just going to call it Rolex Forever. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Yeah, what can you do?
They didn't sponsor. They took their money.
I know. Okay, and Land Rover.
I take it that neither of you are participating or coming.
Jamie,
I'll be there. Come on, now.
Jamie's going to be there.
Oh yeah, I figured you would be. Yeah.
I'll see you Wednesday.
All right. Well, I will see you there. And Glenn, thank you very much. And it's always a pleasure to chat with you guys and be part of this.
Nunfinder. What's the website? Nunfinderproducts.com or just nunfinder.com?
Just nunfinder.com. Okay. NUNFINER.com. And yeah, give us a shout. And, you know, the one thing people don't know is, and I'm going to give this out, is the fact that I hated when, or I still hate when you make a phone call and it's like push one or two or three for this person and then another one. I take all first calls. So when people go to the website at nunfinder.com and they call that number, it rings to me. So well, I can give you, and I do it because I can give you the answer right then and there.
It rings for you from 9 to 2 because then you leave the office. You are
my horse is actually know when the phone rings, they're going to be halting. So they're already setting themselves up. They've already got, they're waiting for that phone call so that they,
Mid jump. And they finish the jump, stop dead, and John's over the front. Hello?
Exactly. None finer. This is John laying on the ground.
See you, John. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you much. All right. Y'all be good.
Bye.
Take care.
And as the final segment in today's show, let's talk a little bit about the horses and the riders. So, Michael Young is the only person to win the event 3 years in a row, 2015, 2016, and 2017. On what horse?
It's, I hate saying the name, Fisher O'Connor,
yes,
right?
That's correct.
That right?
You're correct.
Okay.
He was the only horse to win the Kentucky title 3 times. The winningest rider, any guess?
Obviously, Bruce Davidson.
Correct.
He's just ridden in the most, too.
Yes. And he had the most individual wins with 6 titles total, believe it or not. So it was 78 and then all through the 80s and then 93. So he spread it out over 3 decades, actually.
Yeah.
And we had a drought of 15 years for the U.S. winning. And who broke that?
Oh, my gosh. The 1 year I wasn't there. I'm so irritated.
You weren't there for Tammy Smith's year?
I was not there for Tammy Smith.
How did you miss that? I don't remember you missing that.
Was it COVID? Was it?
So it was 2023,
no,
actually.
It was 2023. I don't know what I was doing, but it was not going to Kentucky. And that's when I was like, I'm never going to miss again.
And
like,
what horse? You're never going to get any of these right.
Oh, either. My mom, yeah. The Black Stallion. I mean, he wasn't a stallion, but she called him the Black Stallion. He's like the most beautiful horse in the whole wide world.
Do you know who won 15 years earlier that was American? Yeah, that's testing you.
No, I can't. I'm trying to think of like what Lucinda Frederick's one, but she's Australian. I'm trying to name things. Mary King's one.
No, this one's obvious. It's still riding today.
American,
Yes.
I mean, gosh, when is Boyd going to win?
Boyd has to win. I wanted to bring that up with Max, and then I didn't with Jonathan Hulling sitting in the front seat. But Boyd has to want it more than anybody right now. He's coming second.
I want him to win so bad. But I would have to say, has Philip won?
Yeah, that's correct. It was Philip Dutton in 2008. Okay. That's right. So 15 years. So she also ended another streak, and that was a streak without a female champion. So Mary King had won in 2011, and then Tammy won 12 years later in 2023. Now,
I know so much about nothing. I mean, it's crazy. I'm sorry.
So has there been mares that have won? The answer to that question is yes. Has there been many mares that have won? No. So there, 85% of the winners have been geldings, and 14% have been mares, and there was one stallion that won.
Really, what stallion won? Do you know?
I don't know, actually, but there was only one. 1% of the winners were stallions. And okay, the average winning age, I think you could guess, is 12 to 14, although we've had a lot of older horses do well, you know, so... But that's the average age of the winners is 12 to 14 years old. And they don't really start them to, what, 9? You know, at 10. By 10 or 11 by the time they get to that level. So, I mean, that's... Now, I do have the breakdown on countries. Did you find which stallion it was? I know you're looking.
I'm still looking. Tell. Sorry, carry on. Okay. Just keep educating.
Okay. So the stallion, or the countries, United States has won 24 times, and that was dominated by the early years. So
yeah,
that's not been in the last 20 years. Great Britain, 12 times. And that was primarily that from 2010 to 2020, thanks to William Fox Pitt and Oliver Townend and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Germany, well, it's been Michael Young, 5 times. Australia, Andrew Hoy, Clayton Fredericks, Lucinda Fredericks. New Zealand, Nick Larkin, Blythe Tate, and Andrew Nicholson. And Canada.
Fun fact, Nick won the first ever 4-star, which is now the 5-star. On a horse named, do you know his horse's name?
No.
Greatest horse's name to win the Kentucky 5-star event. His horse's name is Red. That's so New Zealand. He's so cute. Yeah. My horse's name is
draft
Red.
Draft horse name. And Canada has taken the honor twice. So that's my history. That's my little trivia for everybody heading out to Kentucky or not watching it at home. I think it's on, what's that station that everybody hates? Clip My Horse. That's what it's on. So everybody hates it because nobody can get connected to it. I fight with it every year. I go to watch this. I don't know. It's just the USEF thing, and it's logging in's a pain. Anyway, that's where you can watch it. I think they're covering every event. Jamie will only there be watching the cross country and maybe stadium. Do you have tickets for stadium?
Well, actually, Glenn, hold on, I'm still Googling. So we are going to go on Thursday and watch Alisa Wallace's demo. She's my friend Rachel is like a super fan.
Oh, so she's doing a Mustang demo, right?
She's doing a Mustang demo. And there, she's got a couple of one Friday morning and one Thursday morning, one Friday morning. And she rides real early on Thursday. I don't know how the lady does all the things.
Did she go first or something? It's like really early. Yeah,
I don't know. She's close to it. Yeah.
Let's see.
I know, right? And well, just heard Max talking about Karen riding 4 horses in the long format.
That struck me too. That's the one thing she said today that I went, holy crap.
That is so much riding. So much riding. Let's see. I can't find the name of the stallion. I ask AI. I said, has a stallion ever won the Kentucky 3-day? Yes, a stallion has won the Kentucky 3-day. But then it starts talking about Miley Young. And I'm like, but what stallion?
Oh, here it is. I got it. It was in 2004. Doesn't say who the rider was. Windfall 2.
Oh, who rode Windfall? It was what was the name of the horse? Windfall 2?
Windfall 2.
Are y'all enjoying learning about everything while we know nothing? Windfall 2. Who rode that horse? I know who rode that horse. Cha-Cha, I think.
Oh, really?
Let me look. Fall.
You know, I might have been there that year. We went early on. We helped out at the booth. We might have been there that year with John, actually. That was one of the years we worked with John.
On
so I might have been there that year.
Road, Windfall. Let's see. Windfall was primarily written by Ingrid Klimke in Germany and then later by Darren Chacha.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah.
Woo! You are so full of random knowledge.
I know so much random crap about nothing.
Yeah. If I tell Jamie we're changing the schedule today for tomorrow, she will not remember it by tomorrow.
Disturbed. I would be disturbed.
I have to text and remind her. But this most random crap you remember for your life.
I can sing every word of like the Monkees self-titled album and also every word of like Bon Jovi Slippery When Wet and U2 Joshua Tree. Why do I know those things?
Auditors, hang on. We're just going to chat for a minute, and then I have that special recording for you. I know a lot of you guys like to hear about my early time and Jennifer's early time in this world of horses, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the post show with a friend of mine, Rose from Equus Now. All our Ohio fans recognize that name. They all shop there. So, and Rose is a sweetheart, and I got to spend half an hour with her for a different show I do, and we're going to play part of that in the post show as well. We will be back here on Wednesday, so don't worry. Jamie and I'll be back here on Wednesday. We're actually recording it tomorrow because Jamie's heading out on Wednesday. So
leaving
on a jet plane.
So yeah, I'm gonna head. I'm non-revving though, so we'll see how it goes.
She might get there Saturday.
Flying standby. It'll be fine.